Charlie Kirk encouraged people to keep the Sabbath day for physical and spiritual rejuvenation. But is the day we choose to worship God a personal decision? Or does the Bible command seventh-day Sabbath observance? Learn how keeping the weekly Sabbath as God commands will improve your life. Next, on The Key of David with Gerald Flurry.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the program. Before he was assassinated in September, conservative activist Charlie Kirk was working on a book that goes by the title Stop in the Name of God. And then the subtitle, Why Honoring the Sabbath Will Transform Your Life. What an intriguing title. I haven't read the book. It's not out just yet, but wow. It's rare that you hear commentators or even preachers, theologians, speaking about God's law or the Ten Commandments with such a positive view, praising the law. We'll see later a scripture that talks about the Sabbath being a blessing. God said, keep it holy and you'll be blessed for doing so. One of Charlie Kirk's favorite topics was Sabbath observance. And this is what he had to say earlier this year.
The Sabbath is one of my favorite topics to talk about, honestly, because I'm so sick of talking about politics all day long. It's all I do. So it drives me crazy. This is actually way more important than that. However, I grew up in a church environment that at the very best would de-emphasize the Shabbat. At the very worst, say that the Sabbath doesn't really matter. The Sabbath is in your heart. You don't need to observe it.
Yeah.
And the story is quite long. I'm actually writing my next book on the Sabbath. It's called Stop in the Name of God, because Shabbat means stop or ceasing. So I'm not here to sell you a book. It's not even for sale yet. It's just something to think about. And it's honestly how the Sabbath saved my life and helped preserve my family and helped preserve my career. And so two things. Number one, a pastor that I really care about, Pastor David Englehart. He's one of our board members at Turning Point USA. I was exhausted. It was the summer of 2021. I sat down with him. I said, I'm not sleeping well. I'm fatigued. And he asked me very bluntly, are you honoring the Sabbath? And I gave him very weak theological arguments, honestly. Oh, I'm not bound to that. Or no, I'm not really interested in that. I don't have to do that. And he really challenged me, and I didn't have good responses, to be perfectly honest with you. And pairing that with my very good friend, who is Jewish, who right now is going through a very difficult health trial, Dennis Prager, and he would always talk about the Shabbat, always talking about the Sabbath. And I found myself, after a couple of years of hearing this, getting really jealous of him. Being like, wait a second, you're able to just unplug for one day and not work and be with friends and family and worship God? I want that.
And amen.
I would start to get really jealous in the worst possible way. And then I realized it's not something you go and purchase at the store. It's not something that you have to take out a loan for. It's simply the prioritization of the question of who's in charge. It's that simple. And if you believe God is in charge, and if you believe Genesis 1-1, because the Shabbat is a question of whether or not you believe Genesis 1-1, and if you believe Genesis 1-1, then you honor the Sabbath.
If you believe in God, if you believe in the Bible, if you believe Genesis 1 or Genesis 2, we'll look at that in just a second if you want to begin to turn there, then you'll honor the Sabbath. You'll observe the Sabbath. One reviewer writing about Charlie Kirk's book says the book explores Kirk's personal practice of keeping a Jewish Sabbath from Friday evening to Saturday night, a discipline he had long encouraged others to adopt. Now, that review pretty much sums up what most people think about the seventh-day Sabbath. They think it's a Jewish Sabbath. They think it was made for the Jews. Now, it is true that many devout Jews observe the seventh-day Sabbath today. But Jesus said, we'll see it in a little bit, he said that the Sabbath was made for man. We'll look at that, as I say, in a second. But first, Genesis 2 and verse 1, it says, Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. So he rested, as Herbert Armstrong said. I mean, he didn't stop creating, though. He rested on the seventh day. And by resting, he was creating the Sabbath. The Sabbath was made, as you see here in Genesis 2. Isaiah 40 and verse 28 talks about God and says that he never grows weary. So it's not like God needed the rest. He didn't rest in the sense that he was exhausted, but he made it for man. He made it for man. And if you look at that word rest, it can also mean to celebrate or to keep, to observe. And that's what he meant for man to do from the beginning, from the very beginning. Exodus 31 and verse 17 says, God rested and was refreshed. He looked at what had happened in Genesis 1, the recreation of the surface of this earth in preparation for man, human beings. And he was refreshed by all of it. He it says in Genesis 1 over and again that what he saw, what he made was very good. And then on the Sabbath, he was refreshed. Verse 3 says, and God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made. So it says in the scriptures that God blessed the Sabbath day, and that means to invoke divine favor upon or to honor as holy, to glorify it. Now that's important. If God makes it holy, if God glorifies it, well, then what ought we to do with it? Should we just dismiss it and say, well, as he mentioned there in that clip, it's just what goes on in your heart, what you feel. That's all you have to really worry about. Never mind Exodus 20, where it says to keep the Sabbath day holy, maintain the holiness. My father, he wrote an article back in March of 2019. This was in the Trumpet Magazine. The Trumpet Magazine, here's one of our recent issues. You can subscribe to a one-year subscription of the Trumpet. Just call our operators today and ask for a free one-year subscription. There's no cost or obligation. If you want to understand world events in light of Bible prophecy, I mean, this is your go-to magazine for sure. But there's also quite a few articles on God's teachings, on God's doctrines. Like the Sabbath, are you observing the right day of worship? That was the name of the article back in March of 2019. My father says there was a double miracle here. Speaking of verse 3, we just read it. God sanctified the seventh day, which means he set it apart for holy use for all time, forever. But this also says God blessed the seventh day. God pours out all kinds of blessings into that day. The seventh day is truly a blessed day. And those who observe it, they know that that's true. They see it in their lives. I mean, Charlie Kirk went so far as to say the Sabbath saved his life, his family, his marriage. He was getting worn out, keeping up with a strict pace with all of his projects and activities. And then it came to Friday night and he shut everything off. And he just focused in on reading the scriptures and spending time with his family, his wife and his children. Pretty amazing example. As you've seen, I mean, he didn't hide it. He didn't conceal it. He wasn't ashamed of it. In fact, he was proclaiming it. You ought to do this too. Honor God. Honor his commandments. The word sanctify means to set apart for a holy use or purpose. Mr. Armstrong, in this book, Which Day is the Christian Sabbath? I mean, he spends a lot of time on, you know, what makes something holy. If God says it's holy, you know, Moses came upon holy ground and he had to take off his shoes and he bowed down before God. God's presence is what makes it holy. If God is there, then we ought to keep it holy. That's the essence of the Sabbath command. We'll see that later if we have time. Let's look at Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1, just to, again, to bring your attention to this wonderful book. I mean, Charlie Kirk, he was working on his final book before he was killed by an assassin. And his book is about the Sabbath. This book, I mean, we fought for this for 6 years in court because there were certain people that wanted to bury it. They wanted to bury the truth. They didn't want you to read what it says in this wonderful booklet. It talks about the Sabbath as being a blessing. We've also got this little one here, pagan holidays or God's holy days. Which, you know, which ones are biblical? Which ones does God command us to observe and obey? If we're Bible-believing Christians, well, then we dig into the Bible and we see what God says. We don't just take what some man says as the final say. Herbert Armstrong used to say, blow the dust off your Bible. Don't take it from me. Don't take my word for it. See what God says. We just read Genesis 2. Here's Mark 1 and verse 21. It says, and they went into Capernaum, and straightway on the Sabbath day, he, Jesus, entered into the synagogue and taught. This was right after he selected his 12 disciples. And then notice in Mark's gospel, it talks next about him going into the synagogue on the Sabbath. You can look at Luke chapter 4 and verse 16 on your own time. But over there it says that this was Jesus Christ's custom. As his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and he stood up for to read or to teach. This was Christ's custom, going into the synagogue, preaching or teaching on the Sabbath day. That word custom in Luke 4 and verse 16, it means your regular practice or habit, your regular routine. Now, many years later, many years after Christ was crucified, you can see this in Acts 13, verses 14 and 15. It says about the Apostle Paul that he too went into the synagogue on the Sabbath. This was Paul's custom. You look at the Gospel of John. I mean, that was written toward the end of the first century. I mean, we're talking about 50 or 60 years after Christ was crucified. And in John's Gospel, I'm going to give a program on this later, but he talks all through the Gospel about what Jesus was doing on the Sabbath. He talks about the Passover, obviously. He talks about the Feast of Tabernacles. He talks about the Last Great Day. And there's quite a few Christians that aren't even familiar with these terms. I suppose people have heard of the Sabbath, but most people don't know a thing about the Last Great Day. It's in John 7. They don't know about the final Passover that Jesus observed with his disciples, his students. That's in John 13. They don't know about the Passover sermon that Jesus gave to his disciples. That's John 13 to John 17. Pretty amazing. It wasn't done away. We'll focus today primarily on the Sabbath. Look at chapter 2 of Mark. Mark 2, verse 23, it says, and it came to pass that he went through the cornfields on the Sabbath day, and his disciples began as they went to pluck the ears of corn. And the Pharisees said unto him, behold, why do they on the Sabbath day that which is not lawful? There were the Pharisees to criticize and condemn. They knew Jesus was a Sabbath keeper, and they accused him of breaking the Sabbath command. He's out there picking corn. He shouldn't do that. That's one of our rules. Our Jewish rules say, our Pharisaical rules say that he shouldn't be able to do that. And every time, I mean, this happened frequently, and every time Christ corrected the Pharisees, they weren't keeping the Sabbath the right way. Notice what he says in verse 27. He said unto the Pharisees, the Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. The Sabbath was made for man. It was made to be a blessing for man. It was sanctified by God for man. If you look at that word Sabbath or Sabbaths, it's mentioned 172 times throughout the Bible, and 60 of them are found in the New Testament. How about that? Well, that's a pretty big revelation. 60 references to the Sabbath or Sabbaths in the New Testament. Listen to this excerpt from a sermon that Herbert Armstrong gave many, many years ago back in the 1950s. And he's going through Mark 2, which we just read, and this is what he had to say.
Now here, Jesus said in Mark 2, 27 and 28, he said unto them, the Sabbath was made for man. Notice it was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath, and therefore the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath. We went into that last night. The Sabbath was made. It's one of those things that was made. In the first chapter of John, the first three verses, we learn that the Word that was made flesh, verse 14, and dwelt among us, who is Christ, was in the beginning, and was with God, and was God, and the Word was with God, and all things were made by Him, Jesus Christ. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. The Sabbath was made. Who made it? Who is the maker of the Sabbath? Why, Jesus Christ. Why didn't Jesus say, the Sabbath was made for the Jew, and not the Jew for the Sabbath? He said the Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. He didn't... Listen, did any of you ever see the word Jewish Sabbath in your Bible? Where is it? Tell me so I can read it to all of them. Won't you just tell me, where is it? Anybody can speak out now if you'll tell me where to find it. Jewish Sabbath. I don't hear any voices.
There's Herbert Armstrong pointing people to the Bible, as he always did. Look, what does the Bible say? We just read Mark 2, verse 27, and he said unto them, the Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. Verse 28, therefore the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath. As you heard Mr. Armstrong say, he made it. He created it. He's the Lord of it. And you go back to Genesis 2, as I say, and you can see when he made it. It was right there in the opening chapters of the Holy Bible. Herbert Armstrong writes in this booklet, again, call our operators today. This is the free literature that we're offering today. This, along with the Pagan Holidays or God's Holy Days book. And request your free copies. But he says in the Christian Sabbath booklet, let me say right here that if there is no God, if I were to leave God out of the picture, then I could not see how it could possibly make any difference. He's talking about, you know, which day we worship God, which day we go to services and we learn or we're instructed on God's ways. He says, if there's no God, it wouldn't make any difference. Then man could just do whatever. But there is a God, and God did make it, and God sanctified it. He blessed it. It says, there is no way I can imagine how a man could reason out of his own mind apart from any supreme authority why it can make any difference which day or whether we observe it. But the Almighty Creator God does exist. His existence is easily proved. God is emphatically in the picture, whether a man recognizes that fact or not. He says that great God has set in living, inexorable motion, invisible laws respecting this very question. You see, what it comes down to is our willingness to obey those laws. And for all of human history, I mean, mankind has demonstrated an unwillingness to submit to and to obey the laws of God. And that's because of human nature. Jeremiah 17:9 says that it's desperately wicked. It's deceitful above all things. And Romans 8:7 says that the nature of man is hostile toward God and His laws. And that's why human beings, they get in there and they want to change the laws or do away with the laws or not observe and keep the laws and yet still say, well, I'm very religious. I like to talk about God. I like to talk about religion. A Christian is one who follows Christ. You see in 1 Peter 2, verse 21, it says that we're to follow in the steps of Christ. So what did Jesus Christ do? Which day was the day that it's his custom to go in and teach from the Word of God? Well, look at Luke 4 and verse 16. I've got one more clip here from Herbert Armstrong going back to the 1950s.
Now, at creation, it was Jesus Christ who rested on that day. And he made the Sabbath. And 4,000 years later, he was made flesh and dwelt among us. And he came as a human being. And we read that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, 4,000 years before that of creation, he rested on that day and made that day by rest. Did he change? No. We find that when the Sabbath came, as his custom was, he went into the synagogue and stood up for to read. Jesus kept the Sabbath. Brethren, today, the only hope you have of any salvation is Christ in you. He is a living Savior, and he saves you from the inside and not from the outside. And so we must be able to say, as Paul the Apostle did, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Now, if you can't say that, you're none of his. Unless you are letting Jesus and his mind actually dwell in you and live your life for you, and your mind is so surrendered to his that it is his way, his mind actually living in you, you are not a Christian. I don't care how many churches you belong to. Now, if Jesus Christ is the same today as he was 1900 years ago, and he was the same then as 4,000 years ago, will he in you still keep the Sabbath today, or will he be keeping Sunday? Now, which? And I showed you the other night, you last night, you can't keep Sunday. You can't keep ice water hot. Now, it was made. Christ made it. It was made for man, not against man. It was made for man. It was not made for the Jew. It was made for man. Now, if it was made for man, when was it made? It was made when man was made.
Strong message. Coming from God's servant. He served God for well over 50 years, all through the 20th century, and wrote these booklets, this literature on the Sabbath, so many years ago. And it's nice to see it getting some positive coverage, thanks to Charlie Kirk. But most people fight against it, resist it. They don't follow it. They don't obey it. We saw it was made from the beginning, and he brings up a lot of additional scriptures you should look at later, John 1, verses 1 through 4 or 5. He mentioned Galatians 2 and verse 20. Let me take you to Exodus before we conclude. Exodus 20, verse 1, it says, "And God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God, which have brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage." God brought the Israelites of old out of captivity. He freed them miraculously from captivity. Just as he frees us from bondage to the devil, by the sacrifice of Jesus Christ that shed blood. In the Old Testament, you can see it in Exodus 12. They had to smear blood above the doorpost. Christ's blood is applied to us upon repentance and faith. And then we can leave this world and its customs, its traditions, and start obeying God and start worshiping God. Christ in you. As you heard there, notice verse 8, it says, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy." In this booklet, Mr. Armstrong talks about the Sabbath command being the test commandment. And it's also talked about as being an identifying sign. It identifies God's people. But it's a test. And most people fail the test. Most people, God says, remember, and most people forget. That's just been man's way. 6 days shall you labor and do all your work. Verse 9, you see the wisdom and the love in this. You see how much of a blessing it is. I mean, even on a physical level, Charlie Kirk was exhausted leading up to 2021. And then he started looking at the Sabbath command and thinking, I should do this. That looks like a blessing. That looks like it would be refreshing. It is. It is. Because God designed it. God made it. Well, 6 days labor and do all your work. And then verse 10, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall not do any work, you nor your son, nor your daughter, your manservant, your maidservant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger that is within your gates. This was made for man. And as I say, you can see long after the crucifixion, you can see the Apostle Paul and the Apostle John writing about the seventh day Sabbath. Still, Hebrews 4, I don't have time to go over there, but Paul talks about the Sabbath, keeping the Sabbath. And notice what it harkens back to. Verse 11, it says, for in 6 days the Eternal made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and he rested on the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. You see, God blessed it. God hallowed it. And then Jesus comes along later and says, it was made for man. And he also says, I'm the Lord of the Sabbath. Make sure that you call our operators today and request these two booklets. Which day is the Christian Sabbath? And then this one too. Great companion study here. Pagan holidays or God's holy days? Which? That's all we have time for on today's show. We thank you for joining us, and we hope to see you next time.
All our literature is available free of charge at no cost or obligation to you. Request our booklets, Which Day is the Christian Sabbath? And Pagan Holidays or God's Holy Days? Which? Order now. The preceding program was a paid presentation of The Key of David, brought to you by the Philadelphia Church of God.